Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector. Every Wednesday, Mark, along with his special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark is a tested, certified, and professional spiritual medium, metaphysical teacher, healer, and spiritual advisor with a spiritual practice based in Seattle, Washington. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
As Federico Fellini reminds us, there is no end, there is no beginning, there is only the infinite passion of life. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be in this awakening, transformative, healing planet of ours. This is Inspired Living. I am your host, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, always in search for that diamond within and always in search for those many diamonds and mysteries around our world. And today will be no different as we discuss near-death experiences, also known as NDE, something that I've had in my journey. And before we welcome our guest onto the show, I just want to say thank you to all the Inspired Living listening audience, members of the group pages that we have on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I really appreciate you. Also, my Inspired Living radio team that helps me do these shows now. So I actually have a team, so I just want to give a shout out to them. And of course, the amazing Ohm Times Radio, my producer Chris, and 8 seasons of doing these amazing podcasts, and this is going to be no different. So this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening, depending on where you're listening from, because this is global internet radio, so you can listen to our show anywhere around the world on any device. There's no username, there's no passwords, there's no membership, there's no BS. It's just straight up inspiration, or what I like to say, spiritual awesomeness. And before we begin the show, I want to start with a Chinese proverb that says, life is a dream walking, death is going home. And this morning, I want to just give a inspired listening shout out, not just to the listeners, but to the people both in Turkey and Syria that have been impacted by that huge earthquake that has killed thousands and thousands of people. It's just a daily reminder to carpe diem, to find the magic in the moment, to celebrate the now, because tomorrow is never guaranteed and we can't go back and change the past. So thank you for hanging out with us today. And again, thank you to the Inspired listeners for putting Inspired Living on a top 100 inspirational list to follow in 2023. We've been on this list now for 3 seasons, starting back in 2021. And these lists have Brené Brown, Michelle Obama, Oprah, Steve Harvey. This list has some very influential people, so it's an honor and just always humbled to be on the same list with such people like that. So if you are new to the show, welcome. If you missed the live show, which is broadcast every Wisdom Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, you can always go to your favorite podcasting platform now. We are streaming through all of the major platforms, including Audible and Alexa. Just look for Inspired Living or Inspired Living Radio, or say, hey, Alexa, open up Inspired Living Podcast and you get the latest episode, which was my first forecast of the forecast show of the year, which was the year of the 7 in numerology, which is the year of truth, trials, and transformations. That's now streaming over on your favorite podcast platform. And again, we're live here Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. If you find yourself somewhere around the world, if you're in Hawaii, that's 9 a.m. If you're in Colorado, that's 1 p.m. If you're in Chicago, that's 2 p.m. If you're in Boston, that's 3 p.m. And if you're joining us from across the Atlantic, that's 8 p.m. over for my friends in the UK. So with that, we want to welcome for the first time to the show, he's an author. His name is Chris Jankulowski, and I'm going to have him talk about his new book. I was trying to get his last name down. I'm probably not saying it right. It's a tongue twister. But today we're going to talk about near-death lessons, a dream, a terminal illness, an extraordinary life gained from eight near-death experiences. And I thought I had a few under my belt, but for Chris, this is a lot. And if you'll just indulge me real quick, Chris, I want to read just the opening.
Hey, Mark.
Sure. I want to open with just the reading of the first introduction about this book and how you came to write this from starting back in 2016, if that's okay, just to kind of give the pretext for our listeners out there to know what you've gone through and to understand why you wrote this book. So welcome to the show, and I'm just going to open
up with the introduction of this book. Thank you.
I began writing this book after I came home from my second brain operation in September of 2016. I was expecting to be out of the hospital after 5 days, carrying on with life. Instead, the hospital advised me to go into rehabilitation center and stay there for months. I was in bad shape. I was experiencing extreme fatigue and couldn't get out of bed, let alone sit in a chair for more than 10 minutes before I had to go back to bed again. I needed consistent care. I couldn't feed myself, I couldn't breathe or talk properly, the left side of my body didn't work. I told myself that as soon as I could sit on my chair for an hour, I would start writing this book, so I could share my story. It had been on my mind for years, but unfortunately it took a second brain operation for me to wake up to the realization that if I didn't start writing it, I may never get the chance to do so. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me take you back to how this all began, ... So, my friend Chris, welcome to Inspired Living Radio. Let's talk about your book, and let's talk about the lessons and your near-death experiences.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Where are you joining us from in the world today?
Well, today I'm here at Santa Monica in L.A., and these days I'm living between both Sydney, Australia, and L.A., and yes, I am frequently on that 15-hour flight each way.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're getting the airline miles, I guess, right? Rack up those miles.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the book, because I think there's a lot of people out there, especially my listening audience, that would resonate with that introduction, because you know, it took a second brain surgery to get you to write this book, something you've been thinking about for a long time. I know a lot of listeners out there have their stories to tell. We're all storytellers at the end of the day, and myself included. But what really motivated you and inspired you to not only write this book, but just to keep going? Because you went through a lot with your journey.
Yeah. It's unusual, Mark, because you know, honestly, sometimes the experiences I have, you know, it might seem romantic, these near-death experiences and these serious adversities, but they're really scary and brutal. That brain operation that you opened up the conversation about, the first 2 weeks I woke up after that operation, I was in coma for 5 days, by the way. But when I woke up, the first 2 weeks, I thought I was better off dead. There was no way anyone can live like this. The body was too dysfunctional. I kept, every nurse I bumped into, everyone who visited me, I just said, I couldn't even talk, by the way, I said it like in this very slurry way. I said, anyway, I said like, there's no way you expect me to live like this. Seriously, how can I live like this? This is ridiculous. You can't expect me to live like this. Everybody, cleaners, people at the counter, I was arguing, why should I live? Because that's how broken and damaged spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally I was. I've never been broken like that before. And when we all know when we get broken, we don't get broken into one crack. We get broken into shatters of thousand little pieces. I just had friends would see me who followed me and have known me for decades, have went to the hospital, and they would cry when they saw me. They go, I've seen you bounce back from a lot of adversities that most never get back on their feet on, but mate, I don't know how in the world you're going to get back from this. This is a long road. So that's how severe it was.
And I like how you used the shatteredness of the breakdown, right? It reminds me of a disco ball. Because what's a disco ball? A disco ball is a ball put together of just shattered glass, right? And it's where when we have the breaks in our life, and all of us have it, everybody can relate, maybe not to the extent of what you've gone through, but we've all had our letdowns, our breakdowns, our heartbreaks. And it's, you know, it's a reminder for me, and the reason I do these podcasts and shows is when we have the break, that's where the light comes in. the break and the cracks allow the light to come in, to find a deeper, truer meaning of the journey, of to know thyself, the world around you. Mm-hmm. And you've been slowly put back together with all these different shards of, you know, reflection glass put into one big ball and hanging in the, and what is a disco ball used at?
Awesome.
A celebration, a party. It's the center of the dance. So that's what your book is for, I'm sure, a lot of people. I really enjoyed reading it. And I want to read a quote from your book.
Awesome.
And I want to give a little bit more background to what you're doing right now, because you're the founder and CEO of Remote Staff, which is a recruiting company. So you got through this journey. You kept going with your own company to become the founder and the CEO. But one of the quotes that I picked up in reading this book, you said, quote, "My theory is that during these near-death events, you experience time in a different dimension. You're also given a choice whether you want to continue to live or to die. I chose life each time," end quote. Why do you feel you chose life each time?
Apart from that moment of that second brain operation was the only time I said I'd rather be dead. All other occasions, all other adversities, whether it be cancer battles, whether it be my previous brain operation, I chose life because for some reason when I'm at this different time dimension, as I call it, it's somehow time doesn't operate the same way that it operates here.
Correct.
There is this sense of eternity to it. There is this wonder to it. I don't know. I can't quite put my finger to it. But when I'm in there, and I know I'm there, I know I'm not of this world. I know I've gone somewhere. And when I'm there, I always go straight away. I always say, hey, what's going on here? I ain't going anywhere. I choose life. I want to go back. And it's kind of like that's the first default. And but the second brain operation, when I did have that 5 days of coma, I was in a state where I was in that environment, and my father passed away 4 months earlier. And he was to my right. He was there as if he was right beside me. I didn't hear what he said, but he was panicking and pleading with somebody and me to return back to my body. And that was so unusual because I'm there going in this black void of consciousness. I've got consciousness, but no physical form. I've got full awareness, but I'm not in this time dimension of ours called Earth. I'm in some other time dimension. And I'm having a conversation with somebody about the fact that if I don't return back to my body straight away, it will be too damaged and I would miss my chance. And I'm like, I don't know, it was hard to wrap my head around the moment I was in and the decision that was facing me. And the fact that my dad's freaking out, who's just passed away, that I'm feeling him like as if he's right breathing on me. And then straight off the bat, I just said, well, hell yeah, I'm coming back. And then I woke up to my absolute nightmare.
Yeah. So the spirit world and your father and those that reside in the spirit world, some call it the heaven, some call it the afterlife, some call it the etheric. It has many different definitions depending on your belief system and where you're at in the world. Mm. But you had the encouragement of the spirit world to encourage you to come back before your body could not take the extensive damage it had already gone through, but encourage you to come back because that's usually... there's a reason for that because you have more work to do, and that's including writing this book, which has a ripple effect that's much bigger than all of us. But, you know, for our listeners out there, it's just a reminder that time is a construct. Time here on Earth, if you think about it, we're the only species on the planet that pays to live here, and we're the only species on the planet that measures life by time. And in the spirit world, in my experiences, I know that past, present, future happen simultaneously, and there is no need for time. And so I think that's pretty inspirational to know that that your dad, who had just made his transition, I think you said 4 months before this, was able to be there in your awareness and encourage you to come back. But, you know, for our listeners out there, there's a powerful statement here. It was Chris's free will and his choice to come back. Mm. And you'd mentioned that you were given a choice to actually come back. And that's very important because that is our greatest power and our greatest responsibility why we're here is choice and free will.
Mm. Yeah. And every time you are given that choice, you are given that choice with a condition. And you can't help yourself. For you to be wanting to return back to life, and with that gratitude and appreciation for being alive every time, because, you know, I've had so many second chances. I recognize that I shouldn't really be here, but I'm here. But every time I'm here, every time I wake up every morning, every time I'm standing on my own 2 feet, I just crave this drive in me to be worthy and constantly striving to be worthy of all these second chances, to make that impact, to make that contribution, that to everyone that, hey, our time is not as much as you really think it is. And, you know, who's to say you are going to live that 80, 90, 100-year-old age? Who's to say that? Exactly. Because we all take our lives for granted too much. We all take time for granted too much. We all just assume we have all the time in the world. But there's a seed planted in all of us, a dream, something that's truly architecturally expressed in us. And if we don't start doing something about that, whether we try and fail, whether we try and never really do God knows what in terms of the impact that we envisioned, but we might have impacted one, who's to say that that wasn't a purpose and a mission there that you were planted on this earth to do? Who's to say that by you trying and failing isn't better than you being dead, 6 foot on the ground, with your dreams never being expressed? It doesn't serve the world. It doesn't serve anyone here. So everyone here who takes their time and their life for granted are denying themselves and applying the very best version of themselves. And that's what I'm here to call on everyone.
Well, we're going to go to our first break. And when we come back from our first break, we're going to get into the details of how to live a deliberate life. And if you just stick around for 2 minutes, we're going to come back with our special guest, Chris Janikulowski, talking about his book, Near-Death Lessons, A Dream, A Terminal Illness, An Extraordinary Life Gained from 8 Near-Death Experiences. We'll be right back here in 2 minutes.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Listeners, we hope you're enjoying the shows here on OM Times Radio. Mark Lanehart here and host of Inspired Living Radio. And I'd like to invite you to my morning show of inspiration, encouragement, healing, motivations, transformations, and discovering that diamond within. Metaphysical Mocha Mondays every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, over on the Intuitive Prospector Facebook page and my YouTube channel, Soul Adventures. Dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live and discover that diamond within.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the one in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And as Steve Jobs reminds us, if you live each day as it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right. Welcome back to Inspired Living. Today we have a special guest joining us for the first time. He is an author. He's a CEO. He has written this book called Near-Death Lessons, A Dream, A Terminal Illness, An Extraordinary Life Gained from 8 Near-Death Experiences. Welcome back, Chris. And let's jump right into this, because this show goes by so very fast. It's amazing how when you have interesting topics like this and inspirational people like yourself, the time just cruises by. But I want to jump ahead. So for the listeners out there, if you want to get this book, it's being sold at wherever you buy your books at, or you can go to our Facebook page and Yeah, Amazon is the big one, but I try to promote the smaller businesses too if I can. Yeah. But if you want to go Chris's site, neardeathlessons.com, you can also pick up the book directly from there, neardeathlessons.com. Mm-hmm. And I want to jump to chapter 5 of the book because if for those listeners out there that can get the book, they can read about the struggles and what you went through and the coming back. But in chapter 5, which is a new way to think, a new way to live. Obviously, I'm talking with somebody that's visited the spirit world a few times, so I'm technically talking with a spirit who is incarnated back to, you know, give me this information. But let's talk about, you know, how to live a more purposeful, driven life, as you talk about in your book, and to, you know, really live a deliberate life, as you talk about.
Yeah, look, I mean, on that quote on Steve Jobs, I mean, that was kind of funny for me because every time people were quoting me Steve Jobs' quote statement, I kept getting anxiety. I was like, because I'm always confronted with my mortality. I'm always tested. Mm-hmm. I'm always reminded. And so I was getting anxiety from being able to live as if it's my last day alive every day. It's like, oh, no. But I shifted that meaning and I said, well, what if I can live as if it's my last year alive every year. And because that's what it is anyway. I've always got cancer battles. I've always got MRIs and scans. Something shows up here this year, that year. There's always something happening. So I thought, well, if I could live deliberately for every year, then I could be more strategic. I can make better, wiser decisions with the most important asset I have, my remaining time. And I can choose how to live in that year. Now, obviously, that's just a metaphor. It doesn't mean I'm going to believe that at the end of this year, there's not another year the following year. It's just a game I play with myself to say that this year is truly your last year. And if it really was your last year, knowing full well that you still have to be strategic, you still have to think about a future beyond this year. But if it really is your last year, what are the things that are truly meaningful and purposeful for your life to do? What are the events you need to schedule in your time? And you can't do that, by the way, unless you first look at the year that was, look at the phone, and just look at the photos on your phone. Go through every month, January, February, March. Have a look. See on those photos if there's anything there that you can say, oh, yeah, that's a deliberate experience. I remember that moment. I set out to do that. I've done it. Or I set out to become this person. I've accomplished that. Or I set out something. You must first acknowledge the year that was and what you've done deliberately to then understand, well, a year ahead of you, now here we are, 2023, and how much of this year will you make a conscious, deliberate choice to design your life? And designing your life starts by you first understanding you need to be a self-empowered individual, because if you might not realize this, like I didn't realize it, that I lived when I got diagnosed and told that I'll be dead by 30 at 19. I lived a victim mindset, and I didn't know what a victim mindset was until my first brain operation and the diagnosis of that first brain tumor. And I looked at the sky and I said, God, enough is enough. Kill me, but I choose life. It was at that momentous moment that I became a self-empowered individual overnight. And because it was so black and white for me, I was able to discern very clearly what was the victim mindset and behavior and what was the difference in my self-empowered behavior. And I've had these two behaviors, one for 13 years, one for 17 years. One had me broke, one has me making tens of millions of dollars overnight. It was so black and white. And the biggest thing was, as a self-empowered individual, I had clarity. I was inspired. I am confident. There's no doubts. There's no insecurities. I'm not running away from life's problems. And there's the big statement. Running away from our life's problems is what causes a victim mindset, is what happened in my life. Because if running away from my diagnosis inadvertently made me run away from many other life's problems. I was blaming other people. I was always starting things, never finishing things. I was always passive and safe with my effort. I never went full on. But the moment I became a self-empowered individual and I said, enough's enough, I choose life, I started focusing away from problems and I started shifting my focus towards solutions. That was one thing. I then was taking responsibility for my life in every way. So therefore, I was taking on my life's problems head to head, which I never used to do. I used to run away. I then realized how much I was limiting myself as a result of doing that. And all of these things need to be, people, what they need to do is come to terms with that reality. Are you living a self-empowered mindset or are you living a victim mindset? And to know, in order to live a deliberate life, in order to be strategic in your year ahead, you need to, your mind, your mindset, your emotions, your heart space, everything about you, you need to realize that you need to come from a self-empowered place first and foremost in order for you to imagine, design a dream life and dare to hope of a whole nother standard of life ahead of you.
Well, I love how you use the word dare, because that's actually one of my mantras. You may have heard it in the commercial where I always remind people, dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live and discover that diamond within. And you're right, your focus, you know, really does determine your reality and which way you want to go with your, you know, do you want to continue to be the victim or do you want to, you know, be the inspirer? And, you know, when I was reading through this book, Chris, in chapter five, it really hit home with me because you may not know this, but my listeners and people that follow my work, a big part of the reason I do this is because my brother actually had brain cancer. The difference between you and him is were able to go in and get the tumor out of the back of your brain. My brother's cancer at the age of 35, again, you talked about passing before the age of 30. He was 35 when he passed, but his was in the center of the brain. So his was just opposite of yours. And it was really eye-opening to see that journey for him. And so when I was reading through this, it kind of really hit home because it's also where I started to learn about our brain and about the amazing qualities, like a supercomputer, of that we all possess and we all can, you know, upload or download. And, you know, we've had past shows where we talked about neuroplasticity, the rewiring of the brain, how we can, you know, change our brain, change our thoughts. So for our listeners, how does, you know, if they read this book, how does one stay out of that victim mentality that you're talking about and, you know, get into this deliberate life that you're, you know, because, you know, when you hear it, it's great, but doing it, hearing it and doing it are two different things. I think the listeners would want to know how to do that. What are some of the steps to start living this deliberate life that you're speaking of?
Yeah. I mean, first thing I want everyone to understand, and I have full understanding of what your brother has gone through, because my second brain operation, those two brain tumors that nearly killed me, were in the center of my brain, were deep in the center there. A tumor burst the moment they touch it. So I understand 60% of people who have these things happen to them die on the table. I am one of the lucky 40%. So one thing first, everyone there out there who's listening here, please understand this. And it, only because of my own experiences in learning how to walk and talk, it took me 8 months. I learned about neuroplasticity firsthand. I got to witness brain patterns and synapses changing in me in the physical and in my mental space. The point is, we are not our brain patterns. Our brain patterns consume energy. Our brain does not want to consume energy. Our brain is lazy. And even being lazy, it is taking up all our brain energy. 20% our body cannot produce any more energy. Your brain, therefore, to function at keeping you breathing, keeping you upright, keeping your awareness and conscious, all this stuff, keeping your power running subconsciously, this huge engine there, takes energy. And so your consciousness, which is such a small part of your brain, requires as little energy as possible and is running on automatic so much. So the first way to live deliberately is to break your brain patterns. And the only way you can break your brain patterns is to recognize when you are on automatic, when you are just responding to a brain pattern. You are not your brain pattern. You are not your behaviors. You are not the way how you perceive things in this world. When you close your eyes, when you stop thinking for a second, you observe yourself as the observer in there. That's who's you. You are not these brain patterns. They just They're just the brain triggering being lazy because the synapses are formed. The brain is easier to fire electrons between each other when they're formed compared to when my left side of my hemisphere was completely shattered and I had to form all brand new brain patterns. That was a phenomenal experience. And I got to see firsthand how much energy it takes on the brain when you can form a new synapsis. When I moved a simple pencil lid cover from the left side to the right side of a table, Mark, it knocked me out for 30 minutes. Can you believe that? And when the occupational therapist was there, she was still there. She said to me, Chris, because I said, like, what the hell just happened? I just completely blanked out. She goes, this is what happens. This is what happens when you form a new synapsis for the first time. This is what happens because your left side of the body has all been severed. And now your brain has to form these new connections. And like before, you were learning how to walk and talk since you were born, Chris. And now you've had to form these brain patterns that have to go all the way around and take the back road. You've got no more freeways on your brain. You've got no more highways. Everything's shattered and broken. And that's why it took so much energy for your brain to find a new connection. And that's why you are knocked out.
Wow. That's very interesting. Yeah, you don't think about it that way, right? Because you're thinking, you know, a lot of things we do, we take for granted. And I know you talked about that in your book, when you live up to your full potential. You said, when I woke up to my mortality, I stopped taking time for granted. And I think our listeners need to hear that. A reminder, when you wake up to your mortality, stop taking things for granted. Have an attitude for gratitude each and every day. And, you know, that's the little things, right? Just moving from left to right brain on doing the things that we do. Is just phenomenal to me. And, you know, it's, again, it's the brain is an amazing, we could spend a whole episode just talking about the brain. And I learned so much by sitting down. I literally sat down and talked with brain surgeons from Duke University that were working on my brother, because my brother too also had two brain surgeries. And I was just fascinated. He had a brain mapping. He was one of the first patients here in Seattle, Washington to have a brain mapping in the United States back in 2004. And, you know, it's just a reminder of how much potential we truly have. But again, if we choose to, right, this is a choice. Yeah. This is, you know, the free will. So how can we stretch our own personal boundaries? How can we get past these habits that we formed over the years and fallen into that comfortability? Because I like how you said, you are not your brain patterns.
You know, Mark, it's what's fascinating is the status quo that we all get. You see, it's all part of the brain patterns, you see? The brain's being lazy. We have this worldview. We hold truths and assumptions. You know, after every time I nearly die and I get back to my life and I'm back, you know, on the healing journey, on the recovery journey, and I get back to myself again, what happens is it's like I get a reset button. Happen in my heart, in my mind space, everything I hold true, the way I view the world, the way I hold certain things as truth, the way how all the assumptions I make about life, they always get broken and shattered because I'm back again. I was dead, I'm back, and you cannot help but question everything again. And as a result of me questioning these things over and over the years, I realized how much we are limiting ourselves before we even begin anything. Like, it's phenomenal. And so for us, you must recognize right now that you have an interpretation of how life is. You have an opinion of how things are. That doesn't mean it is. That's just your interpretation now. So you must understand that you need to widen your interpretation first and foremost. You must always shatter these assumptions that beliefs you hold true. You think this is how it is all of the time. You think you can't do something. Because after my first brain operation, and I had this zeal for life that was unbelievable, I realized this was my real second chance to life. There was a marathon happening outside my window. I told all the doctors, Doc, is it safe for me to run this race? It's just a fun run. It's like a 10-mile run. Can I run it? They go, Chris, listen, I'm sorry to tell you, but you just had a brain operation in the part of your brain which controls your movement, Chris. I don't recommend it. your leg might stop working. You might injure yourself. I go, yeah, fine, doc. But is it fatal? He goes, well, it's not fatal. I go, done. Well, I'm running. So I ran. I ran this race, no training. 2 years earlier, I ran this race. And 2 years earlier, I actually did it in 65 minutes. And I had a target goal of 60 minutes. That was pretty fast, wow. 65 minutes.
That's really now, fast, yeah.
That's fast, right? I'm still really fast at 65 minutes. Now, here I am, no training. I just had a brain operation 3 weeks ago. I can't turn my head. I've got cancers all over my kidney. I'm peeing out blood. I run this race with this New Zealand. Firing line takes off. Bang! I run. I had this whole new spring on my feet. I had a smile on my face. I did not drop right through the whole run. All of a sudden, I get to the finish line, and I pass the clock at 58 minutes and 22 seconds, breaking my personal best. Breaking my record, right? How do you explain that? How do you explain this? No training, just this whole new perspective, this whole new zeal. And that's when I realized, man, how much am I limiting my life in all other areas before I've even begun? How much am I selling ourselves short? We sell ourselves so short. Who's to say you can't do something amazing? Who's to say you cannot upskill? Who's to say you cannot expand your gratitude and happiness and fulfillment in life around the corner? No one knows the future. So if no one knows the future, why are we buying the stuff that are full of doubts and insecurities? Why can't we dare hope that the magic is around the corner, that the best is yet to come? Why not? It equals the same. It equals the same.
That's right. Well, and as Abraham Lincoln reminds us, the best part about the future comes one day at a time. And we're going to go to our second break, but when we come back, if you're open, I want to do something with your book on page 84, if we can, Chris. I want to talk about the dispowering beliefs versus the self-empowering beliefs. And we'll be back here in just 2 minutes. Mind over matter. Mind over matter. Mind over matter. Mind over matter. Mind over matter.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Inspired Living. Chris, before the break, I was thinking of the song, because you've had 8 near-death experiences, and there's that one song, like, on your 7th time, you're like, oh, so I'm back from outer space. You know, it's like, I'm back to do this again. But what I was thinking before the show, and I thought it would be fun to do for our listening audience out there, and of course, you know, for our listeners out there, go check this book out. It's very inspirational, purpose-driven, definitely passion, based on what Chris has written and what he has gone through. You can go to neardeathlessons.com as well. But one of the things I thought it would be fun to do is, because we're talking about how to, you know, get into the steps of living in this deliberate life, get away from this victim mentality, you know, expanding and stretching our own personal boundaries. So I thought I would read the dispowering beliefs, which are the negative qualities, out of your book on page 84. And you read the self-empowering beliefs, which are the positive qualities. So it's kind of like, I'm the negative, and you get to be the positive, so people can hear the difference based on tone and based on. Are you up for that?
Yeah, I'm up for. And you, one by one, yeah, let's do it one by one.
Yeah, one by one. I'm going to start at the top on page 84. So I'll be the negative quality. I'll be the negative voice of disempowering beliefs, and then you counter, you contradict it with the positive qualities. And this is out of his book, page 84, starting with often doubtful.
Often confident.
Very disheartened.
Inspired.
I would rather run away from life's challenges.
Actively taking on every life's challenge.
Passive, make safe effort in everything I do, I guess.
I am all in, active effort in what I want to do.
Low energy.
Belief in myself.
Often overwhelmed.
Creative, productive.
Low self-esteem.
Focused on solutions.
Limited viewpoint, very hard-headed.
One second. often open, inspired.
Mm-hmm. Frustrated, limited.
No, one second. My book page closed.
Oh, no. No worries. That's the fun of it.
There it is. So which one was the one that you can read that out again?
Yep, page 84, frustrated, limited.
Motivated, unlimited.
Stuck in a rut, over-worrying.
Often excited about the future.
Starting but never finishing anything.
Creative and productive.
Focused on problems.
And focused on solutions.
Always blaming other forces.
Responsible for my own life.
Always telling others I can't do it.
Often telling myself I can do it.
And do you want to read that last paragraph on page 85 for our listeners?
Yeah. You can live up to your full potential if you are often doubtful and have insecurities about what to do with your life. It makes it harder to discover what drives us and to recognize our gifts, talents, and our passions. Not knowing what to do with our own life affects our ability to put our best selves forward. We are less likely to take a chance at going at something if we are uncertain all the time. It affects our ability to step outside of our comfort zone. Overall, it is our self-confidence or lack of it that constricts our ability to live up to our full potential.
And that is from the book, Near Death Lessons, A Dream, A Terminal Illness, An Extraordinary Life Gained from 8 Near-Death Experiences, from Chris Jankulowski. You heard it here first on Inspired Living. So thank you for reading that. I always try, especially when you have authors on the show, I try to get them to read from their book. And I just found that to be very inspirational. And if you could hear the difference between the tone in my voice and my mindset of what I was focused on problems. You could hear the inspiration in Chris's voice, somebody that's had, you know, 8 NDEs, near-death experiences, and has gone through a lot of pain and suffering, but through pain and suffering has also gone through a lot of transformation and healing to say, you know what, I'm not focused on any problems. I'm focused on solutions. I'm responsible for my own life, and I can tell myself, yes, I can. I can do it. And for every finger that you point out at somebody, when you focus on other people or you blame other people and other forces, just remember there's always three fingers pointing right back at us. I have definitely learned that in my journey here on this planet. So thank you for doing that with me. I thought that'd be kind of fun for the listeners, something new I've never really done, but it just kind of, the chart broke it down to where you had the negative, low vibration tone energy voice, and then you had your upbeat, inspirational voice, which I thought was kind of fun. Good. And that's what we do on Inspired Them. We don't really have a script. We like to do improv things, and we like to keep it very, you know, inspirational. But I do have a question for you. Because you talked about conditioning, and for our listeners out there, with learned behaviors or conditioning, or what we would also call habits, some good habits, some bad habits, a lot of those are developed in our early life that keeps us stuck in our comfort zone. And how can we overcome the conditioning of our early life habits and conditioning and learned behaviors to get out of that comfort zone? To move a pencil across from left to right and pass out for 30 minutes, right? That's not what anybody wants, but it had to rewire your brain. Why is that so important?
So my family upbringing, I'm sure maybe others they've got functional families, but my family wasn't a functional family, and most of my self-development learning journey started at 25. And I had to spend years unlearning a lot about my family's worldviews, their fears, their dreams, their aspirations. That's theirs. That's not mine. I had to first discern, and it took me years to unravel the fact that what I was carrying with me was not mine and mine alone. It was theirs, my mom and dad, my sisters. It was my society's, my upbringing's worldview expectations. You have to recognize that in all of us first and foremost. To break it, you must first discern it. You must first observe it. You must witness it. Are these your thoughts and your thoughts alone? Or are these thoughts that you're running patterns in right now, are they just from your upbringing, your environment, your circumstances that you have repeated and drilled in your mind over and over, 5 minutes before you fall asleep, it's the last thought in your head. You keep doing that stuff to yourself, you're going to wire your brain, and you're going to wire it in not the most effective way. But guess what? The good news is that all of it can be rewired. It will all drop away. There is a time and there is a process. But you have to go through a journey of unlearning. Now, it all first starts that when you finally pay attention to a thought, you're not an automatic. You're getting an emotion and you're being triggered, right? By thought. So there's a thought, then an emotion happens. Or an emotion happens, then a thought happens, right? Whenever these things happen and it's an undesirable emotion or an undesirable thought, you need to first capture it, understand that it's happening. Two, note it down. And then the moment it happens next time, you must do something that is your responsibility now. You must do something. Now that you've shown awareness to it, you must do something. This next step is crucial. You must, next time that thought or emotion happens, you must, wherever you are, at whatever time, you must break that pattern. Right there, you must take that on, you must break it. And when you break that pattern, and when you see and feel these negative emotions and thoughts happen to you, or whatever it is, this view you might have running in your head, or these assumptions you constantly conclude to, right there, you need to prepare, and you need to, right there, you've done a little bit of homework at widening your perspective, widening your understanding of whatever your thought or emotion is about that, you must go back to your knowledge base, because you might not remember, and then drill it in your mind. So you're feeling this, but you know that actually there is so much of a wider position right there. And you've got to go do this with every negative feeling or emotion or pattern that's not serving you. You see, your brain is here to serve you in your life. And if it's not serving you, if it's not giving you energy, inspiration, hope, courage, if it's not giving you this, your mind, your spirit, if it's not on fire, know that you're not programmed properly. You need to reprogram yourself, and it's something you can do. You're not set the way you are for the rest of your life. You are always changing, whether you recognize it or not. You really are. And so you can actively change by doing first awareness, breaking that state, number two, and number three, gaining a wider perspective, gaining a wider knowledge base of how to interpret such things in your life.
Wow.
Eventually you break it. Yeah, eventually you break your patterns. Your old patterns will form away. It's just a matter of repetition now. It's neuroplasticity, it's like, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like the song, the old, I think the song's from the 80s, better check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? To know thyself, the journey of to go deeper. So we only have about 4 minutes left, but in those 4 minutes, I want to get to what I call the diamond of the show. And I want you to really, you know, discuss the importance from this book of finding your purpose and the method that you can implement. And, the, you know, starting with what you were just talking about, you know, starting with the end in mind, mind over matter. And again, a little bit of that unstoppable attitude, a face of adversity, and of course, opportunity cost, and how to recognize when it's time to move on, just in the next three minutes or so.
Awesome. Well, first, every one of us have a deep seed, a purpose in all of us. It is so easy to live our lives unfulfilled, accomplishing one thing after another. But that doesn't have to be the case. We can, when you have a purpose, you can have an inner strength. You can have a power, an inner power, a knowing. You can have an ability in you to finally have confidence to say, let me start focusing on problems outside of myself. You will start doing things that are selfless. You'll go all in on certain things. So it all, for me, the simple solution in finding and discovering your purpose starts by understanding deep down you all have a secret desire. As I mentioned earlier on, it's no good to anyone when you're dead. So let's first acknowledge that secret desire. Deep down, you might want to inspire like I do. I've always wanted to inspire. Yes, these circumstances have led me to finally do something about it, but I'm 49. I've wanted to do this since I was much younger. But why is it only now that I'm doing it? Why am I doing it after all these adversities? You see, I'm better off doing this to the world now while I'm here, while I'm in this biological, physical form. Because once I'm gone, gone, it's too late. Whether I succeed or not, it's irrelevant. So knowing that, we're not getting out of here alive. None of us are. So if we're not getting out of here alive, why are we also settling to the status quo? Why are we also settling to the way things are in Seattle, in our community, or in LA where I am here, or in Australia or whatever? Why do we have to settle? Settling just means you've stopped growing. There's no growth in status quo. So let go. Let go of these things. You need to let go because you don't have all the brain pattern and all the energy in the world. You need to let go of the past. You need to let go to make new changes in your life. You can't carry the past with you if you're designing a dream life. You got to let it go. So, I've mentioned about build awareness. Now start building awareness to the things you enjoy. Because the only way you're going to find your purpose and to understand what drives you more and more is to do things that you really enjoy and really do them. Really go for it. And you'll see that you'll build over time more skill, more passion, more drive, more pleasure from your activities. And you'll finally start to understand really yourself and what drives you more than ever. And then there's a compounding effect to this. You will get more powerful. You'll get more skills. You'll get more energy behind you. You'll take on more and more responsibilities outside of yourself. You'll be able to truly solve problems out there in the world. There's lots of problems. Pick one that drives you, that you're passionate about. And if you're not, If you're not passionate, you're uncertain about things, well, guess what? Commit to something outside of you. Commit to something outside of you. Do that for the long term. When I bargained for my life and I said, Doc, give me another 10 years of life, and I only employ thousands, I felt like I had to do something noble in return. I didn't employ anybody. Since then, I've employed 8,000 people. I've stuck at it. I had no idea. By sticking at something, it grows to your purpose. If it's something that is outside of yourself, if it's something towards contribution and making a difference in somebody else, we all want to do that. We all crave to make an impact to other people. So start doing that now.
Brilliantly said, mate. Brilliantly said. Again, Chris, thank you for being on the show. If you want to get more out of this book than what you're just hearing right now, go get the book, Near Death Lessons, A Dream, A Terminal Illness, An Extraordinary Life Gained from 8 Near-Death Experiences. You can also go to our Facebook page, Inspired Living Radio. You can go to neardeathlessons.com, and you can find the book wherever those books are sold. Chris, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Until our next soul adventure together, be kind, be caring, be compassionate, and most importantly, dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live, and discover the diamond within. Take care, everybody. Namaste.
Thank you.